Seeing is believing. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you are starting to feel overwhelmed by all your responsibilities, duties, if life is starting to hassle you a great deal, please laugh today. Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Laughter is the oil that takes the friction out of human living. What would we do if we couldn't laugh? We'd be crying all the time, or we'd become violent. Ah, you gotta laugh, folks. You know, you don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stop laughing. And you don't laugh because you feel good. You feel good because you laugh, because it releases these natural painkillers called endorphins. That's medically proven. I want to share with you a scripture passage. It's from St. John's Gospel, the very first chapter, verses 35 to 39. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And they went with Jesus, and they stayed the rest of the day, St. John says. Come and see. What powerful, powerful invitation. That has been extended since that first time Jesus used it with these disciples, all the way down to the times in which we live. Yesterday, if you had a chance to listen to the program, I talked about how Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets at once and followed Jesus from his invitation. "I'll make you fishers of men. Come and follow me." Now, today's program, very similar concept, come and see. See what? See where Jesus lived? Well, he didn't really have a place that he stayed all the time, because he was a traveling preacher like I am. Come and see had more to do than just look at a building and at furniture. Come and see what? Come and see your Savior. Come and see the difference I can make in your life. Come and see the opportunity to live life to the fullest. Come and see how I can empower you to go out into the world and offer people a new lease on life. Offer people, well, what did Jesus say? You know, he said that he would give them the ability to live life to the fullest. To the fullest. How do you live life to the fullest? By following Jesus. Today I want to tell you a little bit about the way God called me. You know, I don't know if I've ever did this on my radio show before, but anyways, I was in the 8th grade and there was a knock on the classroom door, and the sister who was teaching me went and opened the door just a crack, and after talking for 20 seconds to a half a minute, she turned around, pointed to me and said, "Come here." And I got up and a little apprehensive, and I walk up to her and she said, "Father wants to see you." And I went out in the hallway, and it was my assistant pastor. We called him assistant pastor back then, and not parochial vicars. And I said, "Yes, Father." And he said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, Father." He said, "Have you ever considered being a priest?" I said, "Well, not really, Father." He said, "Well, I'd like you to consider it." And I said, "Well, Father, I don't think I'm worthy to be a priest." Well, he must have used that in his own life, or heard it somehow, because he came right back on me and said, "Well, if only worthy people are called to be priests, there wouldn't be any priest." I want you to think about it. That was in my 8th grade, in the fall of my 8th grade year. And by the next September, as a 9th grader, freshman in high school, I was at the seminary. And by the grace of God, and a lot of people praying for me, and a lot of prayer on my end, and a lot of support from my family, I persevered. And 13 years later, I was ordained a priest. Back then, there was a good many vocations. Back in the late 50s, I got ordained in 1969. But up until the end of Vatican II, which was in 1965, there was a lot of vocations. Seminaries were filled. Convents were filled. Training programs had lots of people studying for religious life and for the priesthood. And then the turmoil of the 60s and all the changes brought about by Vatican II, with a great emphasis on lay vocations, there was a dramatic departure from the priesthood and religious life, and there was a dramatic drop in vocations. Well, we need holy priests and good religious. We need vocations today. And if you're listening to the program, I want to ask you, will you do your part to foster vocations? Will you pray? Will you pray for holy priests, holy men and women, to dedicate their lives entirely to God and to His service of preaching the good news? If your parents are of young children, are you open to your children becoming religious and priests? Or do you think that's a fate worse than death? Or are you saying, well, I want grandchildren? Or I don't want my son and daughter to have to live such a challenging life, a life of giving up, a life of sacrifice. And if they go to the missions, perhaps a life of hardships. Well, what kind of thinking is that? Oh, I know you love your children. I find it very interesting today that when parents are asked what do they want for their children, their answer is usually, I just want my children to be happy. What does that mean? A Christian should never say that. A Christian should say, I want my children to love God. I want my children to be faithful to God. I want my children to do God's will. I want my children to be heroic. I want my children to be generous. I want my children to be happy. What definition of happiness do you have? Are you going to use the definition that our world gives, which is buy, 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 eat, eat, eat? All the sex that's in our media today? Is that the kind of happiness you want them to have? A happiness that invites gross selfishness, inner directedness, I. You know, if you study the history of the church, and it's a long history of the Catholic Church, you know that the church is made up of saints and sinners. And yes, if you know the history of the church, you know that there has been scandals throughout the history of the church, and there's been times of renewal, a necessity for renewal. And I'm sure that's true in every generation. It's true in my years that I've been walking on earth. I've seen a great need for renewal in the church. How's that going to come about? It's going to come about because holy people genuinely interested in doing God's will, of following God's lead, of answering and responding to the invitation that Jesus said, come and see. You know, don't count the cost. They found the pearl of great price. They found the hidden treasure. And they're ready to give up everything that Jesus talked about. Good family life needs to foster vocations. And parents have to always, not force their children, but offer that as an option. As an option. That they need to be open to God inviting them to come and see. Come and live as religious and priests. And if they genuinely do have a vocation, if God is genuinely calling them to be religious and priests, then they're going to be happy. So that desire in any parent's heart for their children to be happy, if they say yes to God's invitation, they're going to be happy. Happy in ways that the world could never make them. So your ultimate desire for your child will, as a matter of fact, happen. But beside a good family life, our young people need to experience a community of believers, a community of people who support them with prayer and good example of living authentic Christian lives, lives of generosity, lives of dedication, lives of heroism. I get so scared when I see the heroes that are being presented to our children. And from the media, from Hollywood, from TV, they're not genuine heroes. Not from a Christian standpoint, not the kind of heroes that Jesus was wanting to do to build the kingdom. We need to foster vocations now. Families need to pray for vocations. Please, join me every day in asking God to send more laborers into His harvest. They're desperately needed right now. Our prayer partners are people who are paraplegic. They're paralyzed from the waist down. Please ask God to help them to live their lives to the fullest by the grace of God. Today's food for thought, an Irish wish for you. May you be poor in misfortune, rich in blessings, slow to make enemies and quick to make friends. But rich or poor, quick or slow, may you know nothing but happiness from this day forward. And I would add, that happens when you hand your life over to Jesus. Here's today's small attempt to make you laugh. Alabama state troopers were closing in on a speeding car when it crossed into Georgia. Suddenly, the officer behind the wheel slowed to a stop. "What are you doing?" his partner asked. "We almost had him." "He just crossed over into Eastern Standard Time Zone," he said. "Now he's a full hour ahead of us." Get it? They're pretty clever, right? Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Send me your prayer intentions. Just let me know you listened to the program. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It's no charge. It comes out 6 times a year. You can send me a check to help me keep my hospital for the poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico. You make the check out to TASH, Tash, Inc. Send it to the Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore.